Uncanny Japan is author me, Teresa Matsura, exploring all that is weird from old Japan. Strange superstitions and old wives' tales, cultural oddities and interesting language quirks. These are little treasures I dig up while doing research for my writing, and I want to share them with you here on Uncanny Japan. I hope you like the show. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to February's Uncanny Japan. Before I get into this month's topic, let me relay a bit of good news. I just found out that my short story collection, The Carp-Faced Boy and Other Tales, was nominated for a Bram Stoker Award. The Bram Stoker, for those who don't know, is a yearly award presented by the HWA, that's the Horror Writers Association, and I'm quoting here, it's for works of superior achievement in dark fantasy and horror writing. They have categories for novel, first novel, YA novel, anthology, graphic novel, short story collection, etc. And I'm really excited to have made the final ballot for my collection. This means I'll be making a trip to Rhode Island later this month to attend StokerCon. So if any of you guys out there happen to be going to StokerCon, please come by and say hi. Years ago, when I was first married, my Japanese wasn't very good. I was living in this small town. I had no friends. There was no internet. Really no nothing. One day, our refrigerator broke down. It must have been at the beginning of the week because my husband was at work and he couldn't take off. The one thing I could do was drive. So I went to the local appliance store and I managed to get what I thought was a really good deal on a fridge. I even went through all the rigmarole and got it delivered to the house. A couple days later, I'm waiting for the delivery and my mother-in-law shows up and she, for some reason, she always just kept showing up. So she shows up and she's sitting there and I'm serving tea and we're talking and the truck shows up. She's exasperated and she's asked what's going on. I'm kind of proud of myself. You know, I went and got a fridge. It's very cheap. It's very nice. And yeah, they're delivering it. So they're just going to put it over there, you know, take the old one and put the new one in. She checks her calendar and she freaks out. It seems that I had the fridge delivered on an unlucky day. So she went as far as to ask the delivery guys to take it back, to come back another day. They didn't, thank goodness. But that was the moment when I first learned about Rokuyo, or quite literally, it's translated 6 days. In Japan, there's a special calendar called Rokuyo. And I don't think I can think of any younger or youngish people who use it, but boy, does the older generation like to follow its advice. Think of it as kind of like checking your zodiac sign every day, but not quite. It's not about different people having different signs. Depending on your sign, it's a good day for one thing and a bad thing for something else. In Japan, the Rokuyo is straight across the board. It's a guide to every day of the year, and we're all equal. For every one of us, there are certain days that are the best for some things and bad for others. For example, big events like getting married or traveling or starting construction on the house, down to smaller events like going out with friends and, yes, having a refrigerator delivered, should all be done on auspicious days. Or if it's not an auspicious day, there's certain lucky times of days on other days, and you have to know what those are so you can act accordingly and correctly, I guess. Before I get into details about what they are, what the days are, real quick, I mean, how do people know what the Rokuyo is? How do these older people know which, you know, what's a good day for this and a bad day for this? This isn't a kind of what in the newspaper or tabloid magazine or fashion magazine kind of thing. It's more serious than that. The Rokuyo is written in calendars. And actually, a lot of the calendars you can get in Japan, or the daily planners, have the Rokuyo written in very small characters on each day of the year. And you'd almost miss them if you didn't know what to look for. They're just very tiny, and there's only two characters. There's 6 Rokuyo, so 6 of the days, and there's only 2 characters for each day. So it's just 2. And you can look at, you know, just glance at your calendar, and you see the characters, and you know what they mean. And then you know if it's a good day to go out, to start a new project, to, invite friends over, or maybe it's just a day that you should stay at home and read a book. Okay, so here are the 6 days in the order that they always run. They're just cyclical, so they start and they just go through. The first one is Sensho. Sen means previous or prior. It's the sen in sensei. And sho is to win. So early winning, kind of. I found one place that says sensho is a good day for beginnings, but only in the mornings. Afternoons equal bad. And don't do anything afternoon. But I dug around a bit and I found some more. A Japanese site said that sensho is a good day to be hasty in all things, but not from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's a four-hour bad luck window. But any other time, in the mornings or late at night, it's a good time to start something new, to do something, just to be, like, excited to do something. And, yeah, I guess you can be hasty. That's number one. Number two, tomobiki. Tomobiki is one of the big ones you hear about when people talk about rokuyo. Literally, it means pulling a friend. Tomo is friend. Biki hiki is to pull. I looked at the Wikipedia page in English and I found that it's almost right. Actually, it's kind of not right, but they thought they were right. They think they're right, and I see where they got their idea. It says that tomobiki is a day that bad things will happen to your friends. Well, kind of yes, but mostly no. Tomobiki does have the image of pulling your friends, or another kind of vibe to these characters is inviting your friends. So funerals are never held on these days because you don't want to pull your friends and your relatives or invite them into death, which is what I'm guessing the Wikipedia page was trying to say. However, tomobiki is a good day to have fun events, right? Because still, inviting your friends or pulling your friends into a happy event or a happy ceremony is a great thing. So that's okay. Weddings are cool because it's a happy event. And I don't know, maybe you want to pull your friends into getting married or whatever. But that's okay. Weddings, parties, picnics, whatever. Those are pretty safe bets, but not funerals. Senbu. The next one is losing before. So it's the exact opposite of sensho. Sen, again, is previous or prior. Bu means to lose. And this is, again, the exact opposite. If you're hasty in anything at all, you will fail. So you have to be calm and laid back. Go with the flow. And if you want to do anything, you do it in the afternoon. Remember that window of bad luck on sensho? Well, that's a window of good luck on senbu. Mornings are bad luck. Butsumetsu is the next one. Butsumetsu, this is another big one that people talk about when they talk about rokuyo. They might not know any of the other ones, but they usually know tomobiki and butsumetsu. Butsu is the kanji for Buddha. It means Buddha. And metsu is a character that is often paired with other characters, and it means things like destruction or annihilation. So it's very bad, right? And this day seems to symbolize the day that Buddha died. So it's really bad. It's like the most unlucky day of them all. No weddings or anything of the celebratory nature should be held on a butsumetsu day. I think that's probably when I had my refrigerator delivered. Anyway, although that said, there's a very, very, very tiny little aside I found on a Japanese page, which was kind of interesting because Japanese do like to play on words. I talk about that a lot. But butsu, okay, I said it meant Buddha, but it also, different characters, same pronunciation, can mean thing or things. So butsumetsu would be like destroying things. So somebody pushed that analogy to, well, everything before that day has been destroyed, and this is a new day and a time to reinvent yourself and start something new. So that's one way I guess you could look at it, but I don't know anyone that thinks that way. It was just something I found that was kind of interesting. Okay, the next day of the rokuyo is number five, and that's shako, red mouth, literally red and mouth or opening. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. are lucky. Everything else is not so much. It's kind of bad. And it's believed that the red in red mouth pertains to fire and knives. So whatever you're doing that day, you should be extra careful when you're using anything related to fire and knives, because that's bad luck. Last is another biggie. It's Taiyan. The characters mean big, safe, and it's a good day for anything and everything. Weddings, travel, building a new home, outings, doing anything is fortuitous. This is the day you want to get your furniture delivered so you don't get your mother-in-law all upset. Like I said, this isn't every person in Japan that believes the rokuyo. People probably 50, 60 and over adhere to it often, younger not so much, even though they might have heard of it. Finally, something interesting that has evolved because of this, the older generation religiously sticking to rokuyo and the younger generation not really giving a crap about it, is that since it's best to have weddings on Taiyan or Tomobiki days, throughout the year, wedding venues are booked solid on these days, and they charge quite a lot. While, like, say, Butsumetsu, which is the worst day, they just, these days, sit empty. Nobody wants to get married on an inauspicious day. So they make no money. They're just sitting there empty. Taiyan, Tomobiki days are very expensive, and everyone's, you know, trying to get in line to get married on that day. Now, because the younger people aren't at all superstitious about this thing, or getting married on what's thought to be an unlucky day, they've started to purposely ask for Butsumetsu, or the venues have kind of put them out there and said, well, what do you think about this? We can give you a great discount. And that's kind of become a thing. I know some people that have done this. And it's a pretty good deal for almost everyone involved. So the wedding hall or the chapel or the church or whatever, they're happy because they can rent out a day where previously it just sat empty and they made no money at all. And then the young couple, they're happy because they got a great deal on a really nice place. The only unhappy people in the mix are the mother-in-laws of Japan, who are not thrilled at all that they have to go to their grandchild's wedding on such a bad day when, you know, pretty much they just want to stay inside and read a book. So anyway, it's kind of interesting that that's happened. So there you have it. That is the Rokuyo, the 6 days. And why you shouldn't have a funeral on a Tomobiki or a friend-pulling day. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next month. Take care. Bye-bye. Psst. Hey, do you like scary stories? Or maybe you don't do full-on horror, but enjoy a nice dark tale, something creepy involving Japanese folklore and superstition? Well, if that's the case, you can sneak on over to Amazon or wherever you like to buy books and look for my 2 short story collections, A Robe of Feathers and The Carp-Faced Boy. All you need to do is search for Teresa Matsura. Let me spell that for you. Teresa Matsura. Another place you can find me doing things is on Patreon. There, once a month, for my $5 and up patrons, I translate, retell, and record obscure Japanese folk tales. Some are dark, some are humorous, some are just weird. And lastly, another super sweet thing you can do is to write a review on iTunes. By doing this, you help like-minded people find Uncanny Japan. It's a little thing, but it means a lot, and it's a great big help. Thank you always. I'm Teresa Matsura, and I'll talk to you soon.